wasn't alive, he couldn't give us life. But he did arise. And he said, John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. Praise God. Romans 6:5 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm glad that we serve a risen Christ today, not a dead Jesus, but a risen Christ, an exalted Christ to the right hand of the Father. I want to tell you, if you're living for God and you're living for Jesus, you're on your way not to death, you're on your way to life. Even though your body may die, and it will, amen, thought I'd encourage you a little bit, it will. It'll wear out one day, but I can tell you something, that born again, if God Christ is on the inside, you've been born again of the Spirit, you don't have to worry about dying. The body will die, but the Spirit departs from the body at death and goes to be with Jesus forever. Praise the Lord. So we serve a Savior, amen, that didn't just make a religious story. He died and rose again and conquered death. Amen. So he's the resurrection and the life. First of all, we have a promise of the resurrection. Let's look at that for a minute. And it was prophesied in the book of Psalms, chapter 16, somewhat of the resurrection there. But it was Jesus' revelation at the tomb. Amen. And where the angel stood there, and the people came to see the body of Jesus on the third day, and there was an angelic announcement there that says, he is not here, for he has risen. And so that's true today. He's still not there. He's risen. Praise God. But Jesus, in his earthly ministry here, 33 years, Jesus continually told his disciples that he would die and rise again. But they didn't seem to catch it, that he was saying that he's going to die and rise again. They could not picture an Old Testament prophesied Messiah suffering and dying. They didn't see that their sins had to be paid for with Messiah's death. But Jesus showed his authority over death at the tomb of Lazarus. Even before he was crucified and before he went into the tomb, Jesus showed his authority over death. Amen. Mary and Martha were very sad. Their brother Lazarus had died. They were all close friends of Jesus. Jesus heard the news 4 days earlier, and he waited 4 days before he would go and see the sisters and grieve, supposedly, with them about Lazarus' death. And so it was believed in Jewish culture that the spirit of the deceased one would hang around the grave for 2 or 3 days in case there was a resurrection. And so Jesus waited 4 days so that that wouldn't be in question at all. And the fourth day he came, and Mary and Martha came to Jesus, and they cried, and they said, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died. And shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, says Jesus wept. Not because he was sad, but because he saw what death did to humanity, his own creation. And we know the famous words there that Jesus spoke to Mary and Martha. Said, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so we know that Jesus said, you're looking at the one who's going to raise the dead. And he know he raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, most of us just die once. He died twice. He died physically, and then he had to be resurrected. But he's no doubt in heaven. Praise God. But the promise of the resurrection is powerful. And Jesus proclaiming that I am the resurrection and the life is not just for Lazarus, but it's for us also. We know we're serving not a dead Jesus, we're serving a resurrected Christ. We're serving a one who's able to raise the dead, who will raise the dead. Praise the Lord. And there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust that's taught in both testaments of Scripture. And so there's a promise of a resurrection. Praise the Lord. And there's so many things in the believer's life that need to be resurrected. Let me tell you, just in common life, there's some marriages that need to be resurrected. There's some parent-child relationships that need to be resurrected that have gone dead. I want to tell you something. God is present to deal with everything in every situation in life. He's not just for eternity, but God is able to give life and bring new life to what he has put together. Amen. And God has put companions together, people together, and he's able to renew that. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have the promise of his resurrection. Let's look at the proof of his resurrection. And so in Acts chapter 1, it says that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion with many infallible proofs. In other words, Jesus left no room for there to be any misunderstanding as to whether or not he rose again from the dead. Man, in our scripture here in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that he was buried, verse 4, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And here's the proof of his resurrection, that he was seen by Cephas, or Peter, and then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. And then Paul says here, and last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. Amen. Now the Apostle Paul, he wasn't a Christian at first. He was a persecutor of the church. I mean, he put people in prison and he cast his vote against them when it came to a decision between life and death for the believer. But he was gloriously and miraculously transformed, saved on a Damascus road. He was born again of God's Spirit. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He had Jesus to talk to him personally and verbally. And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And we know that that place, he was born again of God's Spirit, later again filled with the Spirit. And so he began the greatest preachers that ever lived, the Apostle Paul. Amen. That shows you what God can do. God can bring a person who's spiritually dead back to spiritual life. And so we see here that the proof of the resurrection was that he was seen by so many people. Amen. And the angels at the tomb said, he isn't here, he is risen. And the stone had been rolled away because there was nobody there, no one there. And later on we find one of the apostles saw him yet again in a different sense. He saw, John the apostle would see Jesus as the resurrected, exalted Christ and far greater glory and power than he'd ever seen him in his earthly ministry. John the apostle had walked with Jesus for 3 years of ministry. He knew who Jesus was, knew what he looked like. But when it came to the revelation, there was a wonderful revelation Revelation chapter 1 that talks about Christ. And John sees Jesus in a more powerful way here. And Jesus spoke to John. And he said, John, I am he who lives and was dead, but I am alive forevermore and I have the keys of hell and of death. And he was saying to John there, he says, look here, I've got the authority to open the graves. I've got the authority over death. I conquered death at the cross and at the resurrection. I conquered it. And I have the keys of hell and of death. And he surely has the keys today, man. My friend, he wants people to come into the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I am to the door to the sheepfold. If you try to come up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But we can come through Christ and come into the sheepfold and be one of his and belong to the family of God. It is the family of God just does not consist of people that are just churchgoers. The world is full of churchgoers and the world is full of religions of all kind. But we come through Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. We can be resurrected from spiritual death to spiritual life and given eternal hope. Without which there is no hope. Man. There's some problems with those who do not believe in a resurrection. They will believe. Hopefully it won't be too late. They will believe before or when they're supposed to. Now. And there were people in Paul's day that did not believe in the resurrection, even though it had been preached to them in the church in Corinth. They had a lot of problems. They really had a problem if they didn't believe in the resurrection. But there were some there that had been probably falsely taught that there was no resurrection or had already taken place. And Paul said, now if Christ is preached, verse 12, that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. In other words, Paul was saying, if Christ didn't rise again from the dead, we're wasting our time here just by preaching to you. But he says here, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain or futile, and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep died in Christ. He's not talking about sleepy people at church. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And scripture that says, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most to be pitied, miserable. Okay? Think about it if you would. If it was all just for this life, this was brought up in Sunday school, but all of this was. Brother Kevin, I think 1 Corinthians 15 is going to happen somewhere on Resurrection Day. But I've heard people say, you know, if there was no heaven or no hereafter, I would still want to serve the Lord. It would be worth it to live the Christian life for the peace that I would have. I heard people tell me that. Let me tell you something. If it was not for the resurrection, there would be no peace, that everything would be all right in the afterlife. If there were no resurrection, there would be no hope for you and I. If there were no resurrection, there would be no eternal life. There would be nothing that we preach and read the Bible for. There would be nothing there. And we're of all men most miserable. But I want to tell you, we're not miserable this morning, because we know that Christ did rise again from the dead, that he is seated at the right hand of glory. He is waiting for one command of the Father, say, go and get my church and bring them home. Praise God. I want to tell you something. We serve a risen Savior, a living Savior, a powerful Savior, a wonderful Savior. An exalted Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Times two. In 2 Timothy 2:18 it says, there's those who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. My friend, when I get the word of God out, I don't have to wonder if God says there is a resurrection. It says it here. And I realize they didn't have the New Testament at the time Paul wrote to Timothy, but we have it now. And so some had strayed concerning the faith. And many religious leaders of other religions, they can show you the tomb of their dead leader. In communism, in this worship of atheists, Lenin, early founder of communism, an atheist, he made it a crime in Russia to be a Christian. But he's dead. His body is preserved where you can go by and see it and see how they've done everything human can do to preserve a body. But he died on January 21, 1924. My friend, he's dead. One preacher told me he said he'd been in hell since 1924. Probably dead. If he didn't come to Christ, he is. And there are many religions that have a dead founder but no living Savior. We can be shown the tomb of such religious leaders as Buddha or Muhammad, but they can't show you an empty tomb. No resurrection, no eternal life, no hope, just a dead religion. That's all. But with Christ, there is eternal hope and help. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal, the gift of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we have an empty tomb. We have a risen Savior, a victorious Savior, a living Savior. Man, a personal Savior. And a returning Savior. And Jesus will return one day in the clouds of heaven. Praise the Lord. He will raise the dead. All who have died in Christ will be resurrected. Now their spirit man is already with Jesus. They died in Christ. Their bodies to be resurrected as Christ was bodily resurrected from the dead. I don't care if it's been scattered to the four winds. God and the sound of his voice and his words can make all elements come together, just as he did when he created the world. Amen. And so let's look at the power of the resurrection here. Jesus had the authority to lay down his life and the power to take it again. It tells us that in Scripture. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 28:18, after his resurrection, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's a lot of authority. But Jesus has the authority over every sickness, every ailment, every disease, every discouragement, every depression. We have to remind ourselves of some of that. We're quick to believe the things that we don't have a problem with. Amen. That Jesus healed the blind and healed the leper. And so they say, well, I'm not worried about leprosy. You would be if you had it. We don't hear much about it. Thank God it's some way under control. I've heard you can get leprosy from armadillos. Anyway, so when you go to lunch over here today, there's no cooked armadillo, so don't worry about it. Anyway, but you see, Jesus has all authority over all things. He has authority over death. The things that people fear the most, or the thing that people fear the most, is death, of leaving this world. And yet, Jesus has authority and power over that. So you and I face death physically here. If we die before Jesus comes, we can say, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. And the moment you breathe your last here, you're with Jesus completely in heaven, where he dwells. And so the power of the resurrection is this. He gives every believer eternal life. And we're born again, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And when we're born again, there's just many people in the church world today that's just never truly been born again. They've never surrendered their life to Jesus. And they've been religious, but they hadn't been saved. But when you're born again of God's Spirit, you're given the life of God in you. That doesn't mean you become a little God, as some people claim to be, but if they were, I was disappointed. But Jesus, the Word of God tells us that God has not called us to have fear, but he's called us to have faith in what he did on the cross. Amen. And the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, Paul makes it very clear that there in the 8th chapter, it says there, for when you're, it's talking about saved people, for when you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ, people of an inheritance, a heavenly and eternal inheritance. It means something to be a child. It means everything to be a child of God. Praise the Lord. And so, there's people, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't have anything. But we believe. And every believer that's born again, as God's Spirit called from darkness to his marvelous light, amen. God will save and deliver people that are unsaved and bring them into eternal life. And God had the power to take the Apostle Paul and turn a persecutor of the church into a proclaimer of the gospel. He didn't think it was real. He didn't think it was a dead religion. He thought it was a dead religion. He didn't believe that Jesus was alive. He knew who Jesus was, his earthly ministry, but he never was saved. He never believed in the risen in Christ. But if on a Damascus road, he would believe. He's riding tall in the saddle one day, if he can do that on a donkey. And then he was struck down to the ground. And a light shone from heaven around Paul. I realize I've already told this, and I'm telling a little more detail. And a voice came out of the light. And it spoke to Paul. And that voice, which was God, said, "What are you doing, Paul?" And Paul answered and said, "Who are you, Lord?" Why would he say Lord if he didn't believe? "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus responded in an audible voice, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And we know that he was raised up, went blind for 3 days, and went into Damascus, where he intended to persecute the church and bring people into captivity that were Christians. But when he received his sight, he didn't persecute anybody. He preached Christ to them. Showed them from Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, where Jesus is the Christ. That is a miracle. That is a spiritual resurrection, my friend. That is how God can change a life and set people free. So Paul saw the risen Christ. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he talks about born-again people here. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope," not a dead hope, not a religious hope, but a living hope, "through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to tell you something. God has given us a living hope, not a dead hope, but a real hope and a living hope. Amen. And an inheritance that's incorruptible. Amen. We're not talking about just a mansion or streets of gold. We're talking about in the presence of Almighty God, the creator of the ends of the earth. I want to tell you there's such glory in his presence. We'll fall at his feet and cry, holy, holy, holy. We'll be no doubt so amazed at the glorious presence of God that we won't be able probably to speak even. Amen. Praise the Lord. Christ had the power to call Lazarus from the dead, and he has power to call all believers from the dead. Just imagine, if you would, for me for just a moment, perhaps another day, just like today. Maybe it's a Monday, you get up and go to work, and you drink coffee so you can stay awake till you get to work anyway. And the traffic is buzzing down the lanes, right and left. People are going to work. People are honking at each other. And you see road rage. And you see some that are okay. And you see all these things happening a regular day. But suddenly there's a voice that calls from heaven. There's a sound of a trumpet that gets louder and louder and louder until all the world will know that there's something happened. And that's when the Lord himself will descend and send down from heaven with a shout that everybody will hear, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and one word from the mouth of the resurrection and the life, which is Christ. One word. Everyone who has died in Christ, their body will rise up to meet the Lord in the air. Those we which are alive and remain shall be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, will rise to meet the Lord in the air. I have a lot of I've had people tell me they don't believe in a rapture anymore. If you don't believe in it, you're probably not going. Those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'm looking for him. Praise God. Hallelujah. It could be today. Praise the Lord. And so Christ will raise the dead. And the power of the resurrection is in him. There's a resurrection coming. Praise the Lord. Now we get up and we go on with our regular life, and that's what we're supposed to do, not sit around waiting for the rapture. I've known people that did that, but they're dead now and didn't make it. Anyway, no. But all believers someday will receive that resurrection life, because the full gospel has to do with the resurrection as well as that. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 4 lays it out very strongly, where it tells us that that we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. So that's what's going to happen, praise God, one day. It's not complete without our resurrection. Because of the death on the cross, we're saved, born again, live our life for Christ, but in the end, we get to go to heaven. If you don't have Christ in the end, you get to die, and that's it. But your spirit man will go eternally, either in the presence of God if you're saved, or eternally separated from God forever in hell. You don't want to go there. Amen. And so the resurrection is not complete without ours. 1 Corinthians 15 makes it very little plainer, another scripture that has directly to do with the rapture of the church. It's a puzzling verse, verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15. I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, the kind of body that we have right now, there has to be something happen to us for us to handle heaven and glory. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep as in death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, better imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Ten commandments made man know he's a sinner. Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul tells the church here, therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God.